Well, a big political and legal row is brewing over the cost of criminal legal aid. Under current criminal legal aid rules, solicitors are paid for every appearance they have to make in the district court for that case. Now, the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, wants to overhaul how they're paid, and he wants to move to a single flat fee per client. He said it's going to simplify the system and it'll speed up cases. The Law Society, which represents solicitors, says it could undermine fairness and drive experienced lawyers out of criminal defence work. So, is this about cost, or are there some bigger principles at play here? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. Now, let me start with an explainer. Criminal legal aid is a system that means that if you're charged with a crime and you can't afford a solicitor or a barrister, the state steps in and pays for your defence. And it's based on, I suppose, a very simple principle that justice isn't supposed to depend on the size of your bank account. So if a judge is satisfied that you don't have the means to fund your own legal team, your own defence, you can be granted a legal aid certificate and your lawyer's fees and any fees that they incur are covered by the taxpayer. And last year, criminal legal aid in this country cost the state more than 115 million euro. It's up more than one third on the previous year. And the Department of Justice say that the costs are surging, but that the number of cases has actually fallen. Now, what the minister is proposing here is that he would replace the current system, which is a sliding scale system with a single flat fee, so that regardless of how many times a solicitor has to appear in court for you, there is a single fee paid. And let's be clear, there are some lawyers in Ireland who are making a lot of money from representing people on legal aid. And to be fair, plenty are not, but there were figures published recently that show that 31 defence lawyers in the state earned over €500,000 each from the scheme. Meanwhile, there are political calls from opposition to go further with reforms to legal aid. Some are suggesting that repeat offenders on social welfare should have their payments docked to cover some of their defence costs. More on that later. So today on News Talk Daily, we're asking what happens when cost-cutting collides with constitutional rights. I'm joined first today by defence solicitor Frank Buttermer, whose firm represents many clients in receipt of legal aid. You're very welcome to News Talk Daily. Frank, I know you're having actually a busy day down at the courts today, so I appreciate you stepping out and taking the time to speak to us here on News Talk Daily. Let us, I suppose, start with the basics of the criminal legal aid system. How does it work in practice down at the district court?
How it works is pretty straightforward. A client will approach somebody, myself or any other solicitor, either in advance of a court or in court on a given day. The client will tell you the details, if they can even figure it out, of what they're accused of. You will then carry out a preliminary assessment of what the offence is. As a part of that exercise, you will then figure out or assess what their means are to see whether they may be entitled to make an application for legal aid. When the matter is then called by the district judge in the given court, the judge will, amongst other things to be considered, hear of an application that can be made on behalf of the person appearing before the court who is applying for legal aid. The judge, in some instances, will carry out a kind of a rather brief ad hoc assessment in relation to their means. Sometimes in other given circumstances, a slightly more detailed statement of means is completed and handed up. The court considers the application and makes a decision as to whether the person is entitled to be granted legal aid. Not all cases are determined to be, you know, suitable for legal aid. And a lot of the time I'll have to tell a client, for example, in road traffic offending and matters of that kind where legal aid isn't always granted, I'll have to tell a client that they may not be entitled to legal aid. In some cases, you know, like what I might call ordinary criminal cases like assaults, thefts, drug matters, you know, matters of that kind, the general tendency would be for legal aid to be granted. It's a means-based situation. On average, if a person has a kind of a net disposable income hovering at 400, 450 or below. Normally, for example, people who are on social welfare, that kind of situation, or part-time income, the judge will then determine that legal aid can be assigned and a certificate issues from the office of the court. all of it goes to the solicitor insofar as the solicitor's fee is concerned. If there is a requirement for additional expertise, you do a lot of the time, for obvious reasons, require medical reports. And if the solicitor advocates for the client, having determined that there's a medical background, you know, mental health would be a huge issue in the courts, then as an addendum cost and covered by the legal aid scheme, the district judge will certify, you know, that a medical report fee can be discharged under the legal aid scheme.
Now, the Minister for Justice has described this current model. He said it is complex and he said it is costly. From your experience, is it?
Yeah, that's a state construct, actually. I mean, it is complex, but that's because I regard the whole administration process as being complex between the input of the solicitor, the district court office, the legal aid law board, which sort of regulates this, and then the payments division in Killarney, County Kerry. It's complex, but that's nothing whatever to do with solicitors. That's just to do with the system. And I would absolutely welcome a proposal from the minister, not so much to do with the actual fee structure itself, but the method of processing it, which has got so many, you know, elements of human input to it, that it does actually, frustrate one to have to go through that sort of rigmarole. I've actually attended at meetings with the legal aid board myself over some time ago to try to explain how the complexity of it could be reduced in terms of the administration of the system. That's a separate matter, however, to the alleged complexity of the fee structure that is kind of agitating people recently.
Well, then bring us through that fee structure then. How does it work? How are solicitors currently paid for those legally aided cases?
Okay. If a person is a given case, theft or drugs or something like that, you get a certificate for legal aid. The case enters into the court system. The person will have to assess whether they're pleading guilty or not guilty. If they're uncertain of their position, then what then has to happen in court on the given day is an application is made, properly so, to the district judge to direct the police to release a copy of the police file, which is an administrative matter that could be possibly sped up a little bit. At day two, having received, the information, then the client will have had a consultation with the solicitor. The solicitor will have to make inquiries, perhaps write to the guards, tell them that there are things, that haven't been disclosed or whatever the case might be. You go back to the court on day two, where you're then required to confirm whether your client is pleading guilty or not guilty. You can only be ready for day two, by the way, if the guards have complied with the order of the court, to send on the evidence to be assessed. A huge amount of the time, and no criticism of the guards, but it is a fact, day two becomes day three or day four because the stuff hasn't come in which you're waiting to receive so that you can advise the client. However, on the effective day two situation, if a client is pleading guilty, the case can be actually dealt with that day. If a client is pleading not guilty, then the state have to assemble their witness portfolio to get the people into the court so that a trial can occur. Then there's all sorts of other considerations enter into it in terms of if somebody is guilty, for example, a court will regularly direct a probation and welfare report, medical reports and stuff, so that district judges can assess the issue of penalty. They can cause delays. If it's a situation where it's a day three, a plea of not guilty and the trial goes ahead, then a verdict is reached. It should be finished by day three in that instance. But however, if there's a finding of guilt, then those other situations might kick in terms of the need for reports, et cetera, et cetera. So all these things which, seem to be, causing people to have this idea that there is this adjournments almost like to suit solicitors, that is not true. And also, solicitors have to wait until all these things are finished so that they can get paid. So the idea that solicitors are, adjourning cases just for the sake of it, it's just nonsense, quite frankly. Solicitors are as willing to get things done as quickly as they can as any other, participant in the system. The process of payment then is, once the case is finished, a form is submitted to the Office of the District Court. That ends up with the Legal Aid Law Board to be further, assessed. And then it ends up in a payments division down in Killarney, which runs the rule over it further. So all that human input can certainly cause delays in relation to administration circumstances. That's a very basic idea of what goes on.
Now, the current payment model, right, it's that it's €239.38 for the first appearance and then €59.86, just to be precise, for every additional one. And what the Department of Justice has said in its review, and they say they've reviewed 350,000 district court cases between 2022 and 2023, is that solicitors are being incentivised to maximise court appearances, and they are looking at duration and number of appearances, and they're saying legal aid cases are taking 313 days to reach their conclusion. Non-legal aid cases are taking 133 days, and they're saying that the average number of appearances for legal aid cases is 5.8 days and non-legal aid cases is 2.8 days. So you can see why they feel that there is certainly no incentive there for getting things to be wrapped up quickly. And how do you, I suppose, explain why these legal aid cases seem to require more appearances and longer duration?
There's no incentive to delay. In my personal experience, and I'm down at the district court this morning, by the way, I've stepped up to do this here. My experience is that the majority of the delays are caused in circumstances which have nothing to do with solicitors. Solicitors are acting on instruction. The only time that I would possibly look at a delay that might be caused by the defence, not the solicitor, by the defendant, would be absences owing to illness or other matters of that kind. Or sometimes, and it has to be acknowledged, I don't want to be criticising anybody, the difficulties, the social difficulties, the drugs, the mental health difficulties, for example, that are caused by people not turning up in court, they can, on the defence side, cause delays. They're not the fault of the solicitor. I also reject the whole idea that there's this kind of, you know, comparison that could be drawn between legal aid appearances and, you know, non sort of legal aid private appearances. The system, I have to say, without faulting solicitors, the people whose, you know, situation we're dealing with, the criminal justice system is dealing with people who have multiple difficulties. And sometimes their circumstances can be disorganized, right down to chaotic. Solicitors try to get things through as quickly as they can.
Across the board, I have to say, Frank. I've also spent time in the district court, either reporting or observing when I was studying. And you could see there was also inefficiencies on the part of the solicitors and that was causing delays. You could see that too, Frank.
I wouldn't agree, and I'm speaking for myself, and I'm observing, I suppose, courts for the last 45 years. I suspect that occasionally solicitors may not exactly be on the ball entirely, but that would be in a very limited number of cases. And I can absolutely assure you, Ciara, that if that was a matter that was of concern, judges wouldn't tolerate it. The judges would be giving us a right going over. In reality, if that was the case. But I I'm dealing with the individuals that we're talking about. I've experienced delays already in the district court in Cork this morning. I don't want to get personal about clients and so on, but dealing with these situations, people in difficulties, etc., can be challenging. I suppose there could be areas where we could all do a little bit better, but the dramatic change and this one-off fee situation which is being proposed is absolutely unacceptable. But by the way, I should also say, and being proposed without any form of proper consultation whatsoever with solicitors. One of the elements that is being proposed, I notice in this paper from the minister, is that all cases which eventually end up getting dealt with in the circuit court or in the central criminal court could be subject to a flat fee of, I think, 100 or 110 euros. So you could be in and out of the court for a year because of DPP. I mean, like, if we wanted to start talking about delays, I can start talking about delays, but I don't want to be critical, and maybe this program is not for that purpose. But like, we could be in and out of court for about a year waiting for DPP directions or Garda evidence or something, making 5, 10, 12 appearances and getting 100 quid for the whole shebang. That's being proposed. I mean, what form of justice is that? And what form of, you know, fee payment structure is that which is being proposed? The flat fee proposal, by the way, it actually could be beneficial if a case could be dealt with on a one-off, you know, you go into court, you do your case, you finish it. But that's a fantasy. That never happens. The minimum, in reality, average, will have to be 3, you know, for the reasons I'm mentioning to you. 5 court appearances is by no means uncommon, not generated or caused by solicitors. Sometimes cases will be in so often that one wonders why it just can't go through on the defence side. So no, I don't accept the assessment that's being carried out by the minister.
And you don't accept the assessment that the Department of Justice has done on all of those 355,000 cases over that two-year period?
Yeah, I'd say that it's a very selective assessment, would be my actual view. So no, I would say there's a lot more goes into what they seem to be looking at than they seem to have taken into account.
When people hear this headline figure for legal aid spending, they can see it as a cost to the taxpayer and something that's been spent on defending the guilty as well as the innocent, it should be pointed out. How should we understand the value of legal aid, do you think, within the justice system?
Well, by sitting in with me for a day or two and looking at the people with whom I deal, mums and dads coming with young folks who get into trouble, they can't afford help. The system is very, very complex. You hardly walk through it yourself. People have a constitutional entitlement and all that, you know, stuff that's a given. The state has enormous, significant powers from start to finish in relation to policing of criminal justice, enforcement, investigation, powers of arrest, powers of detention. The state has overwhelming power. The state spends a huge amount of money on legal services on the prosecution side. I can guarantee you comfortably more than it spends on the defence side, leaving aside all of the other money that it spends on all of the other agencies, guards, prison service, probation service, all these other services are well funded. So that there is really a question of balance here. People are up against the system, as it were. Were there to be lack of confidence on the defence side, I would think that this would have, not overstating it, it would certainly have implications for, you know, a very important part of our democratic structure.
Well, stay with me, Frank, because I'm also joined on the podcast by the A2TD for Mayo, Paul Lawless. He has another reform that he'd like to see made to the legal aid scheme. But first, Paul, what do you make of the changes the Justice Minister is suggesting?
Well, first of all, I do want to say that obviously an individual has the right of the presumption of innocence, and it is a fundamental cornerstone of our democracy. But it is important to state that the costs in relation to free legal aid have ballooned in recent years. Last year, it was over €115 million. And you go back over the years, in 2024, it was €84 million. And the cases are not rising in line with the level of cost. So I do believe the minister is right to look at this, to review this. Our view is that there must be an incentive for all sides in the situation to actually, you know, increase and incentivize efficiencies. And there are cases where individuals are not cooperating in relation to the court system, and that is adding to the cost to the taxpayer. And that is why I have raised with the Minister for Justice the concept whereby free legal aid is actually not free, it's paid for by the taxpayer. And where an individual qualifies for free legal aid, there should be a mechanism, if that individual particularly is found guilty, that the taxpayer can claw back those fees in the same way that, you know, social welfare come after individuals if they overpay them. And that is really important, because that would actually incentivize not just the solicitor, but also the actual individual to engage in a constructive fashion through the process. So I've raised this with the minister. The point is this, that there are many individuals who are before the courts on a regular basis, and the system has no way in its current form of actually ensuring that those individuals pay at least something in relation to this legal aid. And that is what I have proposed to the Minister for Justice, that there should be a mechanism in the system whereby the individual's future earnings, whether that's through salary or future social welfare payments, are deducted to pay for this. Because it is a very, very big issue, whereby in some cases, there are individuals who are not cooperating, who are adding to the cost. And to introduce a flat fee would also, you know, cause concerns from the solicitor's perspective as well. And I believe that the whole system needs to be looked at. Mm. And we need to ensure that, one, solicitors have an incentive to ensure that the case is heard in an efficient manner, but also that the individual that they are defending has an obligation to. And right now that balance is skewed, and it is the taxpayer who is taking up the tab. And like to put it again in perspective, the taxpayer, in terms of this scheme alone, has paid an additional 31 million euros on the previous year. So these costs cannot continue to balloon. We must look at it. We must review it.
The truth is that every individual in this country has a constitutional right to legal advice in criminal cases, including the right to legal representation, where you cannot afford to pay for it. I'm just wondering how the state could justify effectively penalising someone for exercising that constitutional right by docking their social welfare payments.
Well, the point here, Kira, is if you wanted to exercise your right to defend yourself, and you did not avail of free legal aid because your salary was over a certain metric, you would have to exercise that right by paying for that. And that's the point I'm making, that the cost must be borne out by the individual at some point in time. There must be some incentive for that individual to cooperate. Like, we cannot have a situation, and the justice system is already so overburdened by repeat offenders, and we do need to get tough on repeat offenders. And I am very concerned with a general trend in relation to the minister's move that is actually to weaken the justice system. And also, the most recent miscellaneous bill that the minister is bringing in is actually seeking to provide non-custodial sentences for very significant and severe offences.
Frank Buttermer, could I bring you back in on that? What do you think of that suggestion that we would get repeat offenders who are in receipt of social welfare payments to contribute financially to their legal representation?
I think it would fail at the first hurdle, which would be a court challenge, quite frankly. I'd also leave aside that that's nothing to do with solicitors then. That would be acting as a penalty on, you know, any given individual. It would create insanity, I would have thought, in the administration of it, in terms of trying to, you know, recoup to the state money which has been paid constitutionally and properly to a lawyer for acting on behalf of somebody who has an entitlement to that, you know, legal representation. So off we go into some other administrative, you know, Alice in Wonderland scenario of trying to get back social welfare, you know, money from people or other, you know, income sources from people who have been granted what is a constitutional entitlement. I absolutely certainly agree with one thing, which is that there should, of course, be engagement between the minister and stakeholders such as solicitors through the Law Society to have meaningful discussions in relation to structures, improvements. I would happily spend time with the minister or anybody else who's involved in the administration of justice, just giving my view on how things can be sped up. For example, and not to be criticising anybody, we can look at speeding up processes in An Garda Síochána. We can look at speeding up processes in the office of the DPP. We can look at speeding up resources in relation to other investigative areas which are required by the guards to pursue cases and which are grossly underfunded, not sufficient services available. So all of those things contribute to the very delays about which Paul is giving out about and whoever else is giving out. There are many, many things which can be done to improve the legal aid system, absolutely, but they are state things as opposed to defence things.
All right, Paul, briefly on that.
I do believe that there are major bottlenecks in the system and they should be reviewed and looked at. And by the way, this is a major issue across all our state agencies and so on. But in relation to the point, I have clinics on a weekly basis and very regularly there are cases where a parent or mother is receiving social welfare for a disabled child, etc. And they essentially are over the threshold and the Department of Social Welfare comes after those individuals to recoup the monies that are paid. And I that is what we are suggesting, that there must be incentives on all sides. There should be an incentive on everyone in the justice system, solicitors and indeed the person who's defending themselves, to incentivize them to move in relation to this to ensure that they are present for court. And there should be a cost to all individuals who frustrate the system.
All right. Frank Buttermer and Paul Lawless, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us on News Talk Daily today. That was Tuesday's News Talk Daily. Thanks, as always, for listening. You can always find us in the Go Loud Player or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And please remember to like or follow so that you never miss an episode. Until the next time, goodbye.